Hey, hey, hey. Happy Thursday, everybody. Welcome to Truth Hurts. Turns out the guest that I had scheduled for yesterday, there was a bit of confusion, but we corresponded yesterday through email, and I got her on today instead. So my discussion on the Civil War will ensue tomorrow. But so our guest for today is Carolyn Yeager. In fact, I'll bring her on here in just a moment, just a little introduction here. She's got her own talk show. She has written some very interesting things. Today we're going to be talking primarily, we might go off on other things as well, as is usually the case, but we're going to be talking primarily about another fake Holocaust survivor, alleged Holocaust survivor, Eli Wiesel. Very appropriate name for him, by the way. but anyway, you can check out some of her work at www.reasonradionetwork.com. Also, EliWeaselTattoo.com. she'll explain what that means in a moment here. For those of you that aren't already familiar with this weasel. Anyway, with no further ado, we got a break coming up here in a couple of minutes, but let me introduce her anyway. Welcome to the show, Carolyn.
Well, hello, Charles. It's nice to be here so early in the morning.
Yeah, especially for you. You're in a different time zone.
I'm not used to getting up this early, but it's always good when I do because I have, you know, a lot more time ahead of me. But it's starting to get light now, so.
You know, actually, I'm not a morning person myself. I usually wouldn't prefer a morning show, except that now that the weather's getting nicer, I like to go out biking and hiking. I like my day freed up, you know, and then evenings I'm always doing stuff or usually doing stuff, so I don't like an evening show, so that's why I do it, but I'm not a morning person. My brain doesn't start kicking in until about noontime, but anyway, I'm sure we'll do fine anyway. We'll see how it goes.
I think so. We have lots of interesting things to talk about.
Yeah, we sure do. There's just no shortage of that when it comes to exposing the lies, you know, that we've been filled with, especially regarding the Holocaust, which is responsible for so many other deceptions that people harbor in this country and abroad.
You're absolutely right. That's one of my favorite ideas, that it is the basis of so much else, and that's why it's so important. But I would like to tell you, listeners, before we go any further, that if they want to learn about me in general, they can go to my own, I have a personal website, which is CarolynYeager.com. So that's easy to remember, and they can go there and look over and see what's there. And then the website you mentioned, EliWeaselTattoo.com, is one that I manage, and I am the main person there writing everything. When it started, it's in cooperation with CODO, Committee on Open Debate for the of the Holocaust.
Yep.
Together we put the website up, and he actually funds it. So,
I tell you what, Carolyn, hold that thought. We got a break coming in. We're going to get cut off here in just a moment. But stick with us, guys. We'll be right back with Carolyn Yeager.
Hey folks, this is Charles Giuliani from the Truth Hurts Show. Are you looking for that perfect gift to give someone that will open their eyes to the truth about 9/11 as being an inside job or about the ongoing conspiracy for world government? Then let me recommend to you my books, Piercing the Fog of 9/11 and The New World Disorder. These books are fully documented with the most authoritative and irrefutable sources that make it impossible to deny the reality that our leaders are a bunch of corrupt tyrant wannabes who want to rule the world with an iron fist. The 9/11 book covers all the details of 9/11, proving, again, that it was an inside job, including a history of state-sponsored terrorism. In the New World Disorder book, you'll find everything covered, from how the elites hijacked our banking system, our media, academia, and even organized religion. The assassinations of Lincoln, JFK, RFK, you name it. Just go to Amazon.com and search for my name, Charles Giuliani. That's G-I-U-L-I-A-N-I. And you'll see all of my available titles. So again, just go to Amazon.com and check them out today. Hi, folks. This is Charlie Giuliani here from the Truth Hurts Show. I'm here to tell you about my friend Mike Anthony, who has a great line of affordable herbal products. His products cover every known ailment under the sun. My personal favorite is Rapid Heal. Not only will it rapidly heal any injury you might be suffering from, internal or external, but it also serves as a great painkiller. He's also got a formula called System Toner, which can help you maintain your health on a daily basis, enabling your organs to function properly and provide many nutrients that aren't readily available in the average diet today. He's got what's called Dragon Juice that gives you energy healthfully, naturally. He's got another blend called Infection Killer, Cancer Blaster, you name it, it goes on and on. He's also got Herbal Teas, an arthritis formula. So give him a call today, folks, at 845-231-1094. Again, that's 845-231-1094, and tell him I sent you.
TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where up to thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzy noises as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voiceover IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc.
Okay, everybody, welcome back. Once again, my guest for today is Carolyn Yeager. And her official website is www.carolynyeager.com. And you spell her name, Carolyn is C-A-R-O-L-Y-N. Yeager is Y-E-A-G-E-R, carolynyeager.com. You can go there and check out her great articles. Lots of revealing stuff, particularly regarding the Holocaust. We got cut off with the break. Did you finish up what you wanted to say?
Yeah, sure I did.
Okay, great.
I was just kind of leading into the Elie Wiesel website. I do want people to know about that and to go there if they haven't been there and to see it. It's a great website.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Excellent stuff.
And we will talk about the purpose of it, but as soon as you want to.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I definitely want to launch into that in a moment here. I just wanted to say to remind my listeners, every single time there's been this icon that has emerged publicly talking about the Holocaust and been made a hero of and appeared in the news and books written about them or by them, eventually, if not right away, they're exposed as complete frauds. I saw it, but yet even though they get exposed, they still go on to hail them and hold them up as poster childs for the Holocaust fraud. I saw a spot on the news the other day, the local news here in Boston, about the Anne Frank diaries. They were talking about it like it was absolute fact and recommending that people, if they haven't read it already, to go and read up on it. And that's been exposed long ago as a complete scam. You can still buy Spielberg's films, particularly The Last Days film there. It's still hailed as one of the all-time great documentaries on the Holocaust. It's a complete scam. Have you ever seen that new documentary, by the way, Carolyn? The Last Days of the Big Lie?
Oh, sure. I interviewed Eric on my program, too, before yours was.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I've known Eric... ever since he came, I followed him ever since he came into the news, and then I've known him for several years.
Oh, no kidding.
He's a great guy.
Yeah, he did a really good job on that. Very, very, very impressive.
Yeah, and unfortunately, it's not getting the attention it should get.
Right.
From what you just said, that's the way it goes. You know, these things can be, you know, all these things can be shown to be ridiculous and incorrect, and people lying and not telling the truth. And but if the media continues, as you already said, but it can't be said too many times because that's what it is. If the media continues ignoring that and putting out the same old story, that's what people get. And even if they hear our side of the story, they will not believe it because they believe the media. They think that if something that big, if there are real problems and it weren't true, that people in that the media would be have to say so. They don't understand how controlled the media is and how they just go, they just do whatever they want. I mean, they don't, people think that the authorities and so on and name people and so on in control of things in the world today have to follow certain rules, but they do not.
No. No, they certainly don't. You know, as far as I go personally, I've said this before, I actually appreciate the lies in the media because as a researcher, once I find the truth, I appreciate it all the more. You know, the lies make the truth stand out in contrast so beautifully. However, unfortunately, it doesn't work that way for the average person. Most people don't research. They don't want to research. It's too much work. It's easier just to turn the TV on and absorb like a sponge what you're told. So in that sense, these lies are very dangerous because the average person doesn't, you know, they don't know how or they don't want to research. And so they'll probably never figure it out.
Well, that's true. Real research, you know, if you just use the Internet, well, it depends on what you're ready to believe because there's an awful lot of misleading and wrong stuff on websites on the Internet. So, you know, you have to be very careful where you're going. Real research requires going to all different sources and getting to the source of the source because so much is just a copy. People are just repeating what someone else said. So
right.
Many things you see, it's just what you find there is Wikipedia copied. You know,
yeah,
there's
sure.
Website after website where they go and they, you know, they're supposed to be on this or that subject, and they have the identical information from Wikipedia, and that's what you get there. And so
right.
If people read that in enough places, they think it's true.
Right.
So they've done their research, and there they are, you know.
Yeah, it's pretty sad.
It's a jungle. You know, the more I've gotten into this, I see that it's a real jungle because misinformation and disinformation is all over the place.
Yeah. And, of course, you know, we know who runs Wikipedia, and it's not...
Yeah, I mean, Wikipedia is basically, you know, a good place to get some basic information. But what I'm saying is that although they have, you know, this they're selective and they
right.
So often
well, like,
citations.
Just like the media, you know, they might give you the truth, but they're going to filter out important details. You got to add
to
that.
Speaking of Wikipedia, I think is better than a whole lot of these websites. But you have to be careful about Wikipedia too. And then
right.
You know, but at least
I consult them.
Sources and they show
right.
If they don't have sources, you can learn a lot from studying
sure.
A Wikipedia page.
Oh, yeah. I go there. I do.
Yeah, sure. Well, we all do. And that's why everybody's copying what they say. But I think it's a good thing. It helps, you know. When
well, you know what?
You're looking for something. Yeah.
What I usually do is I'll use sometimes what they have as the skeletal outline of what I'm working on. But then,
sure.
Of course, I bring a lot of other material from outside in because it's just not going to be in there, you know.
Yeah, you can get those basic facts, you know, and dates, and, you know, they're pretty accurate with all. I mean, they're not just putting on a bunch of lying pages. I mean, they try to be accurate, but then there's a bias, you know. They have
sure.
A bias, too.
I was impressed. They have a whole big page on exposing 9/11 as an inside job. They actually did a pretty good job at it. However, they don't bring the Israel factor in, but, you know,
there you go. See, that's how it is. Yeah, you know, they can do pretty well. You can get a lot of good information, but that bias is they won't take that. You know, they won't give you the things that that really take you where you need to go. So
right, right,
yeah. Well,
but anyway,
so that's why I have put up this this Ellie Wiesel website. And Bradley Smith at CODO thought it was a good idea, and so he was extremely helpful, and still is. And because you've got stuff about Ellie Wiesel here, there, and everywhere, and people mostly are getting the you know, the pro Wiesel story. So I thought we needed to put it all in one place. But then there's some other reasons which I can go into in a minute.
Sure. Yeah. You got to cut to a break, but we'll pick up when we get back, folks. You don't want to miss this. Very interesting stuff. Be right back.
Hey, this is Jack Blood, host of Deadline Live. For years now, I have been cheating the multinational pharma cartels and have avoided extensive doctor bills by taking Enerfood products every day. These are the products that the powers that be do not want you to know about, and with Codex Alimentarius legislation, are actively trying to ban. Why? Because if you take Enerfood coconut milk powder and switch to all-organic NutriCafe coffee and Coco Mojo, you won't need them. Go to ENERFOOD.com today to learn more about how a daily, inexpensive intake of nature's superfood will increase your immune system by flushing out toxins, and how this will increase your energy, stamina, and focus. You know, you can't take on the New World Order from your couch. ENERFOOD.com or give them a call today. 866-762-9238. 866-762-9238. Tell them Jack Blood sent you.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
My name's John. I've been having problems with my blood pressure for years. My doctor's tried everything without much success. I heard about Extendovite from a friend and thought, why not give it a try? It's been 3 months now, and my doctor's very pleased with how my blood pressure is finally coming down. I have a lot more energy than I've had in a long time. It's working for me.
For 12 years now, I've been helping people. My name is Don Wiskin, and I want you to know Extendovite works. If you're looking for more energy, or just want to be as healthy as you can, now is the time to join the growing list of real people benefiting from Extendovite. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 5 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include three Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping. An $87 value, yours free. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at goberkey.com. That's goberkey.com today.
Come explore the human stargate and what lies beyond. Walk the rebel path. Sundays.
Yeah.
Now these people, and he lies about all kinds of things too.
1 second.
His story. Okay.
Okay, everybody, welcome back. Once again, my guest today is Carolyn Yeager. Amongst other things, she's a Holocaust researcher, Holocaust exposer. We're focusing specifically today on the phony testimony of one of the great Holocaust poster childs, or children, I should say, Elie Wiesel, very appropriate name for him. So let's get into the heat of that discussion, and have you share some of your findings. I'll just basically sit back here and let you do the talking. I'm known for not shutting up, but I want to shut up today, and because you got some very important, very interesting information to share with us. So fire away, Carolyn.
Okay. Well, this whole thing came opened up because Elie Wiesel has been accused of being a fake and a fraud and a fabricator and so on for years and years, almost going way back. But he still keeps going, and he's totally lionized, as you've said, by the Holocaust industry, and he's given these plum positions in universities teaching. He gets his huge salaries, and he writes all these books that really are no good. He's written 40 books, and nobody knows what they are except for his book Night, and then his memoir I've gone into a lot. But they're boring. They're not very good. He's not a good writer. But, they get published, and so on and on this Elie Wiesel legend goes. And the thing is, he is made not just a poster child, but he is going to be an icon, and they're doing all new documentaries. They're doing a lot of things about him because he's 82 years old now, and I hope he lasts for quite a while yet, because I don't want him to die, because as soon as he dies, it's going to be hard to expect anything from him, like show his tattoo or whatever, and they'll be buried. But also, he's going to become like some kind of a godlike person, and they really do. If people think they can't do this, they do it, and they are doing it. And everybody in the Holocaust industry is at work on this. So, this Gruner, this fellow named, I forgot his first name, Charles.
Oh, no. Well, keep
Michael,
talking. I'll look
Michael,
it up.
Michael Miklos.
Oh, okay.
Miklos,
yeah, yeah.
Gruner.
I was just going to look it up. Yeah.
Who was in the Auschwitz camp and in the Buchenwald camp. And he has records there, which Elie does not. And he came out, 20 years ago. And, started talking about that he didn't think that Elie Wiesel was actually who he says he was. And the way this came about was that when Elie Wiesel won the Nobel Peace Prize, now there's another example of him getting something that he lobbied for, and people lobbied for him to get it, and that he really doesn't deserve. But, well, who does deserve that Peace Prize?
I just finished...
the recipients, I think, if they've given it to.
If I can digress.
But anyway, at that time he was in...
Alan?
What?
Yeah, if I can digress just for one moment. Okay. I just recently put a show together on that whole subject, the Nobel Prize. And if you go through the list, you'd be hard-pressed to find one recipient for the past century that's gotten that prize that actually was deserving of it. It's a fraud, like so many other things.
Yes.
But anyway, go ahead.
But it carries a lot of prestige. And so that's one thing. You can hardly touch Elie Wiesel because he's the recipient of the Nobel Peace Prize. And they always include that when they say his name. When he won the prize, when he was awarded the prize in Sweden, the newspaper people they dug up this Miklos Gruner, and they thought they'd get this nice heartwarming story, and they invited him to come to Sweden and meet Elie Wiesel, and he thought that this Elie Wiesel was his old friend from the camp, Lazar Wiesel, which Lazar is Elie is a short nickname for Lazar or Elazar. They're all pretty much the same. And when he got there and met him, he didn't recognize him, and he thought he was very strange, and he said strange things, and he couldn't speak Hungarian, and he didn't even want to speak in Yiddish. He wanted to speak, so they spoke together in English. And then this Elie gave him his book, Night, and, it was just a strange, they were all photographing them and so on. And so he gets on the train, goes back home. He lived in Sweden, and he starts reading this book, and he says, "This is a story of my friend Lazar, you know, what's going on here? So he started researching. Now, this Miklos Gruner is seems like a pretty nice guy. I have talked to him personally on the telephone, and we had a nice conversation. But he is a total believer in the Holocaust, and he tells a lot of, he has his own stories, which are not believable.
Yeah.
To me, or they wouldn't be to you either.
No,
so,
can I
he exaggerates all these things.
Can I ask a question? There's some confusion here. When I was reading up on him, excuse me, the impression I got was that, yeah, there is definite evidence, undeniable evidence, you know, that Gruner was in Auschwitz, but that there's no evidence that Ellie was in any of the camps. But now if you're saying that Ellie is a nickname for Lazar, which I didn't realize, then could it be argued that there is evidence because we know that there was this Lazar character that was in Auschwitz, as far as the name goes?
Good question, because Lazar Weasel is, there's a Lazar Weasel recorded in the camp in both Auschwitz and at Buchenwald. Well, they're not exactly recorded at Auschwitz, but when they went to Buchenwald, they were coming from Auschwitz, you know, so there's that connection. So they are both in both places. And they went at the same time. But this Lazar Weasel was with his brother, Abram, and his brother was older than him. His brother was born in 1900, and Lazar was born in 1913. I'm pretty sure that's right. And
yeah.
Yet, but Ellie Weasel's birthday is 1928.
Oh.
So, and Ellie says he was there with his father, whose name was Shlomo. Or he could be listed as Solomon, but generally they called him Shlomo. And his birthday was 18-something. So, 1890-something. So, these things don't match up. And people who try now to cover up, you know, to explain that, they say, well, they made mistakes. You know, they can point to anything that doesn't match up, anything that doesn't fit. They'll just say,
yeah.
Oh, well, it was a mistake. They got all, well, on all these records, they got these dates wrong. And then there's some other confusions that come up later, which there are no exact answers to yet. But while we don't have answers, they don't either. Well, anyway, after Miklos, he wrote, because he is a real Holocaust survivor. Not, I don't like to use the term Holocaust survivor.
Yeah.
I have come up with camp survivor. Of course, I'm not going to change the terminology, but I would like to, because these people should be called concentration camp survivors. That's
right.
What they are. They definitely were in a concentration camp. But whether it was a Holocaust or not, you know, that's the wrong word, Holocaust. But anyway, so he's definitely a camp survivor. And so he was able to get information from the archive people at the camps. And he got quite a bit of documents and copies of documents and so on and records about himself and Lazar and Abram. And then he started publishing them, and he tried to get the papers and the press. And he called all kinds of press conferences. Nobody would really pay much attention to him. See, you know how that goes.
Right. Okay,
so,
I'll tell you what,
to
another point.
Oh, again. But, okay,
yeah.
All right.
Hold that thought, and we'll pick up there when we get back. Stick with us, folks.
You are listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the Socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member streams that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to oraclebroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
Ever wish that you could listen to Oracle Broadcasting away from your computer? Now you can, with Oracle Broadcasting's new Listen by Phone feature. This free service turns any phone into an Oracle Broadcasting receiver. Simply call 704-772-7627. At the prompt, press the Oracle station code 10007. That's 704-772-7627, then 10007. Normal long distance and cell phone rates apply. Stay connected with OracleBroadcasting.com.
Imagine no longer being tied down to your computer, but having the freedom to take live talk radio with you anywhere you go. TalkStream Live introduces our first ever iPhone application. The talk shows you follow now follow you, and your iPhone is now the fastest and easiest way to stay connected to the best talk radio on the internet. Let TalkStream Live transform the way you listen to radio. Listen to live talk shows 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Mobile talk radio from TalkStream Live, now available in the iTunes App Store.
Heirloom Organics non-hybrid seeds are the long-term survival food solution. Heirloom Organics is the largest provider of 100% non-hybrid seeds prepared for long-term storage. Starting at just $99, the complete survival seed vault contains a one-year food garden for two people. The family, homestead, and farm packs provide for up to 12 people. Go to GetSeedsNow.com. Learn how you can protect your family and community by providing everlasting food supply from your own non-hybrid seeds at GetSeedsNow.com. Or call 877-980-SEED. Remember, GetSeedsNow.com. Or call 877-980-SEED. Remember, GetSeedsNow.com. To see our extensive line of specialty seed packs, which include kitchen herbs, medicinal herbs, herbal tea, fruit, tomato, chili peppers, and many others, go to GetSeedsNow.com. Or call 877-980-SEED. Remember, GetSeedsNow.com.
All right, folks, welcome back. Once again, our guest today is Carolyn Yeager. We're talking specifically today about the Elie Wiesel claims to have been in Auschwitz and how it doesn't stand up to close scrutiny like what we have with every other alleged Holocaust survivor, quote unquote. And this shouldn't surprise us. The whole Holocaust story is a fraud, so why should any of these Holocaust survivors' stories pan out? None of them do, guys. Anyway, you remember where you left off, Carolyn?
I was just getting ready to talk about Carlo Mantogno.
Yeah.
In 2010, or it may have started in 2009, boy, he came out, he started looking into this some. Others have, too. Other revisionists, Robert Faurisson, the French revisionist, a wonderful man who's done great work. He has written about Elie Wiesel. And Professor David O'Connor, who is a professor in Georgia, French. He was a professor of French. He's retired now. He's written some wonderful long articles about Elie Wiesel, and they've exposed a lot of things. But now, Carlo Mantogno, who is a well-known, Holocaust revisionist and World War II revisionist, he looked into this, and he's written quite a lot of books, and he wrote some articles for the and he published them on the Inconvenient History Revisionist blog because, for one thing, he's friends with Thomas Kues, and Thomas Kues runs that. And I've had some things published on there, too, I might say. And if you go back to, that is at, I would like people to visit that. URL for that is www.revblog.com. It's another CODO sponsored website. And he went through the Gruner material, and when he got done, he put it together in a way that was a little more easy to understand. And at the time he did that, I had just started my radio program, and which, by the way, is titled The Heretics Hour, and it's at every Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern on VOR Radio Network. And I got very excited about this and interested, and I was talking about it on my radio program, and then I was talking about it on the CODO forum, and somebody said, well, we should have a prize, $25,000 for anybody who could get Elie Wiesel to show his tattoo.
Tattoo, yeah.
And some people were saying, oh, that's too much money. Where are you going to? And some, this one fellow and I were saying, well, he'll never be able to do it. We're confident, so we'll never have to pay the money out. So anyway, but then I got Bradley to, I started talking more and more about we needed to get a website and put all this information up. And so that's what we've done, and that's what this is. And if people go to EllieWiesel.com, and remember, tattoo is spelled with two T's and two zeros, two O's, I mean, not zeros, two T's and two O's, they will find a lot of information. And I put together, well, on the menu bar across the top, we have one of the items is the evidence. And if you click on the evidence, you'll find the documents, which is where you need to go first. And then you'll find a lot of other things. And there's also photographic evidence with that famous Buchenwald photograph, which we might want to talk about later. And yeah. Under the documents are all these documents that Miklos or Michael Gruner found and got, and some of them that other people got. And it gets a little confusing. You have to read it over carefully. I've explained it the best I can. But it shows, basically, that we have documents for a Lazar Wiesel and his brother Abram and their proper birth dates, and that they went to Buchenwald and they were assigned there, and then Abram died right after they got there. And then Lazar, who was older, and then Miklos was assigned, Miklos Gruner, we have his... some information on him there, some documents. And he was assigned to the children's barrack because he was still around 15, 16 years old. And his father had died. He came into the camp with his father and two brothers, and his father had died, and he lost track of his brothers. So he got under the care of this Lazar and Abram. Well, then he was sent to the children's barrack, and then he says that Lazar showed up at the children's barrack after his, even though he was over 30 years old, after his brother died, as soon as they got to Buchenwald, which would have been in the very end of January, and this was early February 1945 already, because he got special permission to do so. Well, people question that. But the fact is that there is a document that shows that there was a Lazar Wiesel who was sent to France as an orphan, and we have some paperwork on him showing not Elie Wiesel's exact birth date, but the birth year of 1928. Well, Michael Gruner says that they changed that for him so that he could be with the orphans. I don't know whether this is true or not, but this paperwork on this young Lazar Wiesel who went to France is very questionable. It has a signature on it. You know, they all had to sign these. These are these special questionnaires that were done on them after the liberation. These survivors, and it's signed with the last name first, Wiesel Lazar. They all were signed that way. And it is totally different from Elie Wiesel's signature. I have a, and under documents, I have another article that I did, which is the signatures prove that, they're not the same person. And then I have some, there's some interesting photographic evidence and lots of things to read about. You just click there and go to the one. And so there are all kinds of questions. And if I might just throw in here to back this up, there's a professor, Ken Walser, at the Michigan State University. I think that's, it's not, I don't think it's University of Michigan. I'm pretty sure it's Michigan State. He's been doing, he's, you know, Jewish studies professor, and he's really in with the Holocaust industry, in my opinion. And he does all this work, and he gets paid as a professor there at Michigan State. For
probably wouldn't be a professor if he wasn't.
No, right. And he one of his specialties now is the Buchenwald children, orphans, so on, that they're called, and that Elie Wiesel was one of them, and he's coming out with a book. Well, you know, he was talking about this in 2007, I think it was, and in 2008 or so, or at least 2009, he said the book is ready, almost ready to come out. He's coming out soon. And still hasn't come out. And since we have been putting the attention, I think, on all of this information, and including pictures that he says are pictures of Elie Wiesel, which are not clearly, he has now halted. You know, he's not coming out now. I have on another website that some of this stuff is talked about, and there are comments on it. He wrote in and said, oh, this is all a bunch of tripe, that Elie Wiesel was not at Buchenwald and he was not the one named Lazar Wiesel who was sent to France. And I'm going to prove it. He said, I've got, he's working with some other people. Naturally, they've got all kinds of backup, money, funds. They can do anything. He can
As
go
always,
to
yeah.
That Yad Errolson place in Germany where all those documents are, and he can get in there and look through everything, whereas the rest of us, unless you are accredited in some way, you know, approved of politically, you can't get in there and look at that stuff.
Right.
So he says, we found proof, and we're putting it together now that this is the same person, and it's going to be out anytime. This was like the middle of last year, and he has not said, and he said this on my Elie Wiesel website too. He wrote in there too. He's kind of aggressive in that way, you know, which leads me to something else I want to say. But so far, then he has not said another word since. And I was just looking again at his website. He has a website for his work at the university, and one portion of it is for Elie Wiesel. And there's still no word of any of this information coming out. So it is my opinion for sure that he is having trouble, because he knows he can't just throw any old junk out there and it's going to pass muster, you know?
Right.
Because I'm doing, and other people are doing, I don't want to just say me, but I am doing a very good job on this.
Okay. We're cutting to another break here. Yeah, hold that thought. Okay, folks, stick with us. Be right back.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal, but something seems to be missing. Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com. But wait. There's more. You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
At HempUSA.org, we offer chemical-free products to people around the world, detoxifying, self-healing, while rebuilding the immune system. We urge our listeners to please consider our largest-selling product, Microplant Powder. Our microplant powder is rich in silica and probiotics to help rebuild the immune system and to create a healthy stomach flora. Microplant powder is excellent for daily intake and is perfect to add to your storage shelter. We urge our listeners to please visit us at hempusa.org. And remember, all of our products are chemical-free and healthy to eat. We constantly strive to give you the best service, highest quality, and rapid shipping anywhere. And we offer free shipping on orders over $95 in the U.S. Please visit us at hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. That's 908-691-2608. See what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you at hempusa.org.
Hey folks, this is Charles Giuliani from the Truth Hurts Show. Are you looking for that perfect gift to give someone that will open their eyes to the truth about 9/11 as being an inside job or about the ongoing conspiracy for world government? Then let me recommend to you my books, Piercing the Fog of 9/11 and The New World Disorder. These books are fully documented with the most authoritative and irrefutable sources that make it impossible to deny the reality that our leaders are a bunch of corrupt tyrant wannabes who want to rule the world with an iron fist. The 9/11 book covers all the details of 9/11, proving again that it was an inside job, including a history of state-sponsored terrorism. In the New World Disorder book, you'll find everything covered, from how the elites hijacked our banking system, our media, academia, and even organized religion. The assassinations of Lincoln, JFK, RFK, you name it. Just go to Amazon.com and search for my name, Charles Giuliani. That's G-I-U-L-I-A-N-I. And you'll see all of my available titles. So again, just go to Amazon.com and check them out today.
This is Jack Blood, your radio gun. You're listening to Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of tyranny smashing cutting edge talk radio.
All right, everybody, welcome back. My guest is Carolyn Yeager. You can check out her website, carolynyeager.com. She's the host of the Heretics Hour radio show. You know, I wanted to ask you real quick before we get back into the discussion on Ellie. The name heretic, are you referring to, an academic heretic, or do you discuss religious matters on your show as well?
No, it's not really referring specifically to religious heretics, just the idea that heretics are people who don't go along with the accepted
dogma.
Right. The orthodox ideas.
In this case, you can nail your 95 theses on the door of your local synagogue instead of the cathedral.
Yes, I'd like to. Yeah, which leads me to what the point that was coming up next was that, you know, if people would come to this website, EllieWeaselTattoo.com, and see everything that's there, there is so much that points totally against his story being true and big, big problems with it, and yet you can't get it. The problem is getting it out to people and getting it out to the media. And some people will say, oh, why make all this fuss over Elie Wiesel? He's just one man. You know, I mean, the Holocaust is much bigger than that. What difference does it make? Well, as I know you appreciate, he is such an icon that if he, they cannot allow that man to crash and fall. I mean, they really won't. And another little point I might make is that I have not had any attacks on this website, and I've had very few letters or comments or people getting upset about it. Although Bradley Smith did have some problem when we were dealing with Ellie's university, Boston University, then he had some serious problems, which he attributes to that. So that was like, you better stay away from here. But still, my stuff about that is still on there. But the reaction of, and I'm sure I'm not being arrogant here or carried away with myself, but I'm sure that everybody, that's anybody, including Elie Wiesel, knows about this website. But they don't say anything. The idea is ignore it, you know. Because for one thing, everything's backed up. You know, I was starting to say, and I don't, again, I don't mean to be bragging, but I mean, I'm careful, and it's real research, and they cannot, well, it's true. So it's, what's on there is the truth. So they cannot refute it. So when they can't refute something, their next position is to ignore it.
Right.
Now, if it would come to where they couldn't ignore it, then they would start attacking and tearing it down. But at this point, because only so many people visit it, and it's not, you know, it hasn't become a big sensation or anything, they're still in the process of ignoring it.
And it just
would make me happier, because I don't think I would like being under attack. I never have been, but so far it's all calm, and I just keep going.
Well, it just enrages me that, you know, you've got people that have been arrested in several European countries, up in Canada. They're trying to get the same kind of sleazy legislation passed here, that if you question this slop, you know, you're going to serve time. It's mind-blowing.
Yes, yes. Yeah, you can, it can, I can get enraged, too, and if I get thinking about it. And I just then, what I do is I just say, well, I'm just doing my part. I'm just in my work. I like doing it, and I'll just stick with that. Because if you think about the big picture, it's as you just said, you and you care about it. You can just go around and, you know, start ranting and raving, because it just drives, it's just nutty.
Yeah, it's maddening.
And it's evil.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And the control is really incredible, the control that they have.
And yet we're supposed to be living in such an enlightened age now, the information age. Oh, please.
Yes. Well, we do have information on the Internet, and like the problem is they put a bunch of junk. They slop their junk and their slop all over the Internet, which makes people confused. But if people know the right places to go, which is hard to convince them, but, you know, the right places to go, they can get good information. This Revlog is a good place, a revisionist blog.
Yeah.
.codo.com is and Codo is a good place that people can go. There's lots of information on there.
Oh, sure. But coming back to Eli now.
Yes, Ellie.
I'm sorry. I keep saying Eli. Yeah, so, I mean, to this day, I had to laugh, you know, when asked about the tattoo. He actually said on one occasion that he didn't want to expose his body, his arm.
Yeah, that's what he says. And mostly they think it's just such bad taste to even bring it up. Oh, how rude, how crude. Oh, they would like to put people in jail if they would be so rude as to say to this great man, this Peace Prize winner, you know, would you please show us, why don't you show us your tattoo? Oh, how awful. You know, why should he have to do that? I'm being sarcastic. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's the attitude. You know, he doesn't have to do anything. Nobody should question him. Well, of course, we shouldn't question any of it.
Unless you want to go to jail.
Or
an anti-Semite.
I think that, thank God that we can still do that here. We should be doing it.
Yeah.
We shouldn't say, well, you know, there's time. There's no time. There's not enough time. We need to be doing it, everything we can do, while we can still do it, and maybe we can then get some kind of...
You know, the irony is a lot of people are afraid to talk about it because they're afraid they're going to get in trouble. But no, it's not illegal yet. The more people that talk about it, the less likely they're going to be able to get away with making it illegal. Because if you've got millions of people talking about it, what, are they going to arrest the whole country?
Yes. Well, I know. That's the answer everywhere. It's the answer in Europe, too. But people, you can't get enough people. If you've got enough people, like you say, they can't arrest them all. If you got 10,000 people to go out and do a protest about this topic, they would have a hard time processing 10,000 people through their justice system.
You know, I think the way to solve this problem, Carolyn, is to impose, a mandatory inoculation program in this country of testosterone.
Yes. Well, some people have more naturally, and I think those are the people who are willing, you know, be aggressive. I believe in being aggressive.
Yeah.
Some people think aggressive is just a horrible word. Oh, aggressive sounds terrible to them. But I think we need aggressive people, and I'm pretty aggressive. But anyway, back to the tattoo. Now, the thing is, I am starting to wonder if this, if it was actually policy to tattoo everyone at Auschwitz, although a lot of revisionists say, yes, it was, but there really is no actual proof of that, except a lot of people, and a lot of tattoos that people have are not They're, you know, they're clearly they put them on themselves because they're too big. They're in the wrong place. They're this and that. They've got little symbols on them and so on. I mean, if the Germans were going to tattoo now, and now maybe a lot of people don't know this, Auschwitz is the only camp, Auschwitz and Birkenau, there were two together there, is the only one where they did have a policy of tattooing prisoners for mainly just a way to keep track of them. It wasn't to humiliate them or do something off. It was just that was the easiest way to know who they really were because people were, you know, pretending they were someone else and, you know, trying to, you know, change their names and so on. You know, people do all kinds of things like that. So by putting the tattoo on that couldn't be removed, then they would know exactly always who they were. But only at Auschwitz. They never did that anywhere else. So it wasn't German policy, National Socialist policy, SS policy in general. It was a policy at that camp, period.
Wow.
But the thing is that Ellie says, he has said more than once, but I've got several quotes from him, that he has a tattoo. You know, he says, I have this tattoo and I have it right now. One good thing that came out of Eric Hunt's ordeal with the justice system when he was arrested after his encounter with Elie Wiesel was that at his trial, Elie Wiesel said, when he was asked the question, and what number was tattooed on your left arm? He said, my number was A7713. My father's number was 7712. Now, that's another thing besides the birth date is these numbers. Now, this number, 7713, was assigned to Lazar Wiesel, born 1913. And the other number was assigned to Abram Wiesel, born 1900. So these numbers don't
coincide,
you know,
right?
No, with, well, I mean, you know, they don't fit... again, the names of Ellie and his father, the birth dates and so on.
Right. I tell you what, we've got to cut to another break. Stick with us, folks. We're already in our halfway segment here. But we'll pick up there when we get back.
Hi, folks. This is Charlie Giuliani here from the Truth Hurts Show. I'm here to tell you about my friend Mike Anthony, who has a great line of affordable herbal products. His products cover every known ailment under the sun. My personal favorite is Rapid Heal. Not only will it rapidly heal any injury you might be suffering from, internal or external, but it also serves as a great painkiller. He's also got a formula called System Toner, which can help you maintain your health on a daily basis, enabling your organs to function properly and provide many nutrients that aren't readily available in the average diet today. He's got what's called Dragon Juice that gives you energy healthfully, naturally. He's got another blend called Infection Killer, Cancer Blaster, you name it, it goes on and on. He's also got Herbal Teas, an arthritis formula. So give him a call today, folks, at 845-231-1094. Again, that's 845-231-1094, and tell him I sent you.
TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the Internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzing noises as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voice over IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc.
Looking for great talk radio? You found it. This is the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
All right, guys, welcome back. Our hour here. Again, my guest is Carolyn Yeager. You can check the website, carolynyeager.com. You can also check out, in fact, we're going to be looking here in a moment at ellieweaseltattoo.com. If you're near your computer, you might want to go to that website. We're going to be referring to some interesting documents and photos in a minute here. Before we do that, though, you wanted to finish up talking about the tattoo issue. You know, it makes me think of, what was her name, Irene Zisblatt, you know, and again, for those that haven't seen the film, just go to holocaustdenier.com, go watch that very, very damning film. But, you know, she tells a similar BS story about her tattoo, which she doesn't have, and, you know, she claims that it was removed, but when you look at the... When you listen to the account that she gave of how they removed it, you know, they cut into her flesh, you would expect there to be a pretty serious scar there at least, but you don't find that either.
Well, I got real interested in Irene Zisblatt when Eric Hunt started his, he put up a website basically about her. And I was commenting on there, and he and then communicating with Eric, and he sent me all of these materials that he had gotten. You know, her book. You know, he downloaded. I could download her book, and I read her book, and I read her. He sent me her Shoah interview and so on, and I started putting all that stuff together, and I did a long article of my own, which is on my website, and it was also published at this Rev blog, revisionist blog website, which I compared using, and I gave Eric credit for, you know, for getting me started on all of this and supplying all this information. He's a very good investigator. He goes out and gets stuff. You know, he doesn't just stay home. I stay home, but he goes out and finds these things, and he's very skillful with the computer, and you know, and being able to grab things from here and there, which I'm not. So, but I compared her testimony, her Shoah testimony, her book, and a radio program she did, and the Last Days documentary that she was in. And what she said in all those four things, wherever she said something similar, mostly it was between her Shoah testimony and her book, but the discrepancies and changes. I mean, she is a bigger liar than Elie Wiesel. She is ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
I mean,
it is.
She is just far out. And and yet there she has talked to millions of school children who believe every word she says and have, you know, think she's just this great heroine. It's just, it's really awful.
You can tell, too, when you listen to her, that she's literally making it up as she goes along. Eyes will roll up to the ceiling, and, you know,
Yeah. But anyway, back to Ellie. He said
Actually, we have another short break.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that thought, pick up, then we get back, folks, with us.
Hey, this is Jack Blood, host of Deadline Live. For years now, I have been cheating the multinational pharma cartels and have avoided extensive doctor bills by taking Enerfood products every day. These are the products that the powers that be do not want you to know about, and with Codex Alimentarius legislation, are actively trying to ban. Why? Because if you take Enerfood coconut milk powder and switch to all-organic NutriCafe coffee and Coco Mojo, you won't need them. Go to ENERFOOD.com today to learn more about how a daily inexpensive intake of nature's superfood will increase your immune system by flushing out toxins, and how this will increase your energy, stamina, and focus. You know, you can't take on the New World Order from your couch. ENERFOOD.com, or give them a call today, 866-762-9238, 866-762-9238. Tell them Jack Blood sent you.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
My name's John. I've been having problems with my blood pressure for years. My doctor's tried everything without much success. I heard about Extendovite from a friend and thought, why not give it a try? It's been 3 months now. My doctor's very pleased with how my blood pressure's finally coming down. I have a lot more energy than I've had in a long time. It's working for me.
For 12 years now, I've been helping people. My name is Don Wiskin, and I want you to know Extendovite works. If you're looking for more energy, or just want to be as healthy as you can, now is the time to join the growing list of real people benefiting from Extendovite. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 5 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include three Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping. An $87 value, yours free. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Okay, everybody, welcome back. We're going to finish up our chat discussion here, and then we're going to talk about this very interesting Buchenwald photograph. Did you in fact finish the? I forget what we were talking.
No, you know, I just wanted to say I kind of went off on a tangent there, but. It was back to Ellie's tattoo. The thing is that he claims he has this tattoo on his arm. You know, he doesn't say it was faded or I had it removed or I don't have it anymore or something. Because in March 2010, about 1 year ago now, he was at a University of Dayton and he gave it in one of his talks, you know. And then they had a press conference afterwards and the media people were there and a whole bunch of students. And the student asked him if he still had his camp number on his arm, and he said, yes, he did. It served as a reminder of those terrible experiences, he said. And then I have a quote here on this tattoo page that we have on the website. I don't need that to remember. I think about my past every day, but I still have it on my arm, A7713. At that time, we were numbers, no names, no identity. Well, so he is claiming just 1 year ago that he still has his tattoo. But now he won't, the reason he won't show his arm is because he doesn't have it. But he is such a, now this is what blows people's minds. People can't believe it, that a man who won the Nobel Peace Prize and is a high level professor at a major university and so on and so forth and gets $25,000 for every speaking engagement he does, would lie like a child. Like that, you know, would claim to have this thing without seeming to think that people are going to find him out or are going to wonder about him, you know, like little kids lie, because he's been so protected all his life. And I'm getting now into his past. His past has been such a mystery. You know, they put out this fake story that, you know, he was studying at the Sorbonne and, you know, in these years after he left the orphanage and before he moved, more was known about him. What was he doing? Oh, he was in Paris studying at the Sorbonne. He wasn't studying at the Sorbonne. And there's a lot of questions about just what he was up to during those years before he came and moved to New York. And so, but that's another
unbelievable
story. But anyway, he's still protected. He's been protected from the beginning. I don't know what his beginnings really are. I doubt his entire story. But on this same page, we also have these photographs, which have appeared elsewhere. But this is also the work of Eric Hunt. He put together a little video from a documentary that Elie Wiesel's people actually had made of him wandering around through Birkenau, you know, remembering the past and so on. And it's a hot day, and he's got just a shirt on, not his usual suit jacket, and he's got his shirt sleeves rolled up above his elbow. And so we have lots of shots that Eric got from that video, still shots. And we've got three of the still shots on here, trying to show his left forearm from various, you know, on all sides. It's a pretty good selection. And there's nothing there, you know. So this is a valid question. I mean, there are pictures of him showing there's no tattoo. He usually has a big, you know, he's all dressed up in a suit,
no,
almost always. And he says, oh, you know, nobody's going to say, well, take off, you know, push up your sleeves and so on. So it's a valid question. He won't respond to it, and that's the answer right there, if you ask me. He doesn't have it.
Right. It's obvious.
Okay. Now, to go on, at the website, under the evidence on the menu bar, go down to the fourth item there. It says photographic evidence, and going straight to the right, there's the famous Buchenwald photo. Clicking on that takes us to that page, and this is the photo that is, it's famous because most everybody has seen it, unless you just totally haven't, unaware of what went on during that time. But this is a picture, that says that Elie Wiesel is back, kind of back in the middle of the picture, but for pretty far back, his little face sticking out. There's a face there that he has claimed himself. But it first was claimed by the New York Times that this was Elie Wiesel. And you know when this claim first came out, because this picture was first published in 1945 in the New York Times, and nobody said Elie Wiesel was in it. But in the 80s, or maybe the late 70s, but he was lobbying, and so were a lot of others lobbying to get him either the Nobel Prize either for peace or for literature. Well, of course, the peace would have been, you know, was the best one, and that's what he got. And the New York Times has always been working hand in hand with the Jews in the Holocaust industry.
Oh, sure.
And they work hand in hand with Elie Wiesel, and they've always been promoting him. And then they came out, and suddenly this picture, you know, this was Elie Wiesel in this picture. And that was before he got the Nobel Prize, but that was meant to help him get it, you know, and show,
right,
again, to show, oh, look how he suffered. But this person is not Elie Wiesel. It's just not. And Miklos Gruner is in this picture, and he is right in the lower front, the lower left-hand corner, so he's, you know, the closest to the camera of,
yeah,
anybody in this picture. And that looks like him. You can see. And there are other people who claim to be in this picture. This whole page explains a lot of things. There are several people who have also claimed, oh, that's me in that picture, and, you know, it's not them, because and then when you find a real picture of them, it doesn't look like them at all. So people are just nuts over this Holocaust and being a Holocaust survivor. They lie like crazy, as we know. And then this man who's standing there, that famous fellow who's got covering up his private parts with a shirt or something, otherwise he's naked, and his ribs are sticking out. He has never claimed, it's clear who he is, but he doesn't claim it. He doesn't want to be known that that's him. Isn't that funny? And yet he posed for it. So who,
right,
knows why these people are doing what they're doing. But this standing man appears to be this communist leader in the camp, because the camp at Buchenwald was really run by the communists. It was full of communists who were prisoners because they were active communists, you know, and working against underground and so on. And they were very organized. You know, political people like that are very organized. So they organized in the camp. And the camp, to keep everything running, the Germans just kind of let them sort of run their own sections and so on. They let them run a lot of it. And they were the ones who were doing mean things to other prisoners. Anyway, that's another subject. But this is a very interesting page. And as we go on down further, we find that page that I mentioned, I don't know if I mentioned it on the air or to you, that of the Buchenwald orphans marching out, you know, to leave the camp. And this one boy that's on the left-hand side, and I've got a close-up of him, they say that this is Walter, Professor Walter said that this is Allie Weasel. And he still says that on his website. He hasn't given up saying that.
Right.
I think he's eventually, and I think the reason he hasn't come out with his material is that maybe others are saying, you know, this is not good enough. You know, we're going to get flack from this.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So maybe that's why it's being held up. But he wants, I don't think Walter is very smart, even though he's a professor.
Yeah. Well, that happens a lot. Anyway, we got to cut to another break. Stick with us, folks. Okay. Be right back with Carolyn Yeager.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
Ever wish that you could listen to Oracle Broadcasting away from your computer? Now you can with Oracle Broadcasting's new Listen by Phone feature. This free service turns any phone into an Oracle Broadcasting receiver. Simply call 704-772-7627. At the prompt, press the Oracle station code 10007. That's 704-772-7627, then 10007. Normal long distance and cell phone rates apply. Stay connected with OracleBroadcasting.com.
Imagine no longer being tied down to your computer, but having the freedom to take live talk radio with you anywhere you go. TalkStream Live introduces our first ever iPhone application. The talk shows you follow now follow you, and your iPhone is now the fastest and easiest way to stay connected to the best talk radio on the internet. Let TalkStream Live transform the way you listen to radio. Listen to live talk shows 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Mobile talk radio from TalkStream Live, now available in the iTunes App Store.
Heirloom Organics non-hybrid seeds are the long-term survival food solution. Heirloom Organics is the largest provider of 100% non-hybrid seeds prepared for long-term storage. Starting at just $99, the complete survival seed vault contains a one-year food garden for two people. The family, homestead, and farm packs provide for up to 12 people. Go to GetSeedsNow.com. Learn how you can protect your family and community by providing everlasting food supply from your own non-hybrid seeds at GetSeedsNow.com. Or call 877-980-SEED. Remember, GetSeedsNow.com. Or call 877-980-SEED. Remember, GetSeedsNow.com. To see our extensive line of specialty seed packs, which include kitchen herbs, medicinal herbs, herbal tea, fruit, tomato, chili peppers, and many others, go to GetSeedsNow.com. Or call 877-980-SEED. Remember, GetSeedsNow.com.
Live Free or Die Radio with Lee Rogers, the most dangerous talk show in America.
Weekdays at 9 p.m. Central on Oracle Broadcasting.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Flying away on us here, and there's still quite a few things I want to talk with Carolyn about. In fact, during the break, I just found out that she did, in fact, tour several of the concentration camps. So I definitely want to get your take on that, Carolyn, have you share what you saw there. But before we do that, Go ahead and finish up, you know, a few more points you want to make about Ellie, and then we'll get into that.
Yeah. Okay, thanks, Charles. You know, so on this same page of the Buchenwald, famous Buchenwald photograph, going down, we have the three photographs of Elie Wiesel where you could compare them, and none of them are the same person. And so what we have is that there's no evidence of Ellie being in these camps. I mean, what they point to, what they use, is false. Turns out to be false. And so here we have what we end up with. And just to sum up, then, is that that it's a story with no foundation, and that's why it needs to be questioned seriously. And if Elie Wiesel were to be exposed as a fraud, that would be a tremendous blow to the entire believability of the Holocaust story.
And, you know, this is something I have found over and over and over again. If something is true, upon close inspection, it will be shown to be true. You don't have to pass legislation to support a lie. You only need to pass legislation to suppress the truth and to buttress a lie. You know what I mean?
Yes.
The fact that they're passing laws to silence people question, that should tell people right there that it's a flipping lie. If it's so true, you know, let people speak against it. All they'll do is make a laughing stock of themselves. But when you have to suppress it like that, to the point of arresting people and sentencing them to prison, once again, folks, if that doesn't tell you this is a lie, before you even begin your search, and I hope you do, if you don't already know that the Holocaust is a fraud, I hope you will look into it to see that it is. But before you even do it, the fact that they arrest and sentence people for questioning this, that ought to tell you something right there.
Well, exactly right. So people have a political motive. Either the Jewish people have their motive, and then liberals have a political motive, because the Holocaust underpins the evil German Nazi SS Nuremberg trials were a wonderful thing and a legend. And they want that to be held in place because they think that fascists are the threat to the world, and they really are. They don't mind communism at all. You know,
right,
they're very sympathetic.
Right.
They think communism, well, it had excesses, but you know, they were just for the average person and so on. Bitch, sure they were, you know.
Right.
But anyway, so really, it's not people don't base this on the evidence. That's why they don't even want to look at it. They want to hold to certain historical truths, or you know what are called truths, and have them be in place and keep everything right where it is.
Right.
Yeah.
Anyway, unless there's something else you wanted to bring up about Ellie.
Yeah. Well, my trip to the concentration camps. Yeah. I went to Germany and Poland, and I visited Buchenwald first, and after that I visited Auschwitz in Poland and Birkenau. And then I was able to go to Dachau before I left, which is near Munich in Germany. And, of course, of those three, Auschwitz is the only one that is considered a death camp. It's for a long time now been completely accepted that there was no gas chambers in any of the camps in Germany, only these camps in Poland. Of course, there were no gas chambers at all. And I was writing about my trip to what I found in Auschwitz, and then I turned it into, with the help of the Barnes Review, a book, and they published it. It's a small booklet, which is you can order from there. It's called Auschwitz, the Underground Guided Tour, what the tour guides don't tell you at Auschwitz-Birkenau, because it was only at Auschwitz that I went on a regular tour, and I hadn't intended to, but in the end, the way things happened, I did. It was awful. I mean, I knew it would be. That's why I didn't want to go on a tour, but there I was on this tour. But it taught me, showed me just what their tours are like. They're awful. I mean, they just lie, and they don't show you everything. They show you just a few things, and they give you this spiel while you're looking at it and while you're going there. And now at Auschwitz, the big thing is that you can't see the gas chamber. They want you to believe in it. They take you there. But, of course, they've gotten so much criticism, Charles, about the gas chamber there and how fake it is and how it couldn't be a gas chamber and so on. And they're so sensitive to that now that where people used to be able to walk in there and walk around and look, nobody thought it was a sacred place, where you can see how they reconstructed it and so on after the war, which they did. And now they lied about that for a long time, but now they admit it. They even have a sign out front, which is supposed to show you that it's just minimal. It really wasn't very much. It doesn't make any difference. But when you go there, you have to, they've got it roped off, the so-called gas chamber, which is only a big cellar. It's just a big, ugly, you know, cement type, not fixed up in any way room, like you'd think of a cellar. But it's all dark inside now. And you go by with this rope in front, and you're looking, like, you know, and they say, well, it's disrespectful now, they say, for people to go in there and do anything. They might deface something in this sacred spot. They have some flowers on the, you know, in the middle of the floor, and you don't see a thing. So you can't criticize it anymore. You're just given this story about what happened there.
Did you
and
see
I
the
found
famous...
that very disappointing.
The famous swimming pool?
Yeah, I went to see the swimming pool. That's not on the tour, of course.
Right.
They don't take you in that area at all.
That's not.
And they've got a sign out there in front of the swimming pool now that says that it's actually a fire brigade reservoir built in the shape of a swimming pool. Can you believe that? I mean, this is how nutty these people are. What do they think people... Well, that's why they don't take people there. But they're so afraid now that of all of these things that, like... well, my book is full of all the good things that were at that were at Auschwitz and Birkenau for the inmates. You know, they had movies, they had theater, they had hospitals, they had sports programs, they had art classes and an art museum, and there's over 1,000 pieces of artwork that they show in the town of Auschwitz, which is now called Auschwitz or something, in the museum there. But they deny it at the camp memorial. They have a room of, they call the art, which is done by prisoners afterwards, which shows all sorts of sadistic brutalities being done. This was not the real, you know, this was just more of the propaganda they were creating.
Yes, yeah.
And now they have this big, huge kitchen at Auschwitz, which showed that that they did a lot of cooking and food preparation for the prisoners, but they've never allowed people to go in there. They have them at Birkenau, too, but most of those are torn down, but there's one left. But this is the one at Auschwitz, and now they're going to turn it, you know, they've never shown it to the public. They don't want to talk about it. But now they're going to turn it into, they say, some kind of an art museum or something to show the art that was done at there. Well, they'll show all that fake art.
Brother.
But they don't want people to see that as a kitchen.
Of course not.
You know, they want to just totally destroy that image.
Anyway, hold
that thought. And that's what they're busy doing there.
Yep, we got to cut to another break, Carolyn. Hold that thought.
Okay.
You're right. Stick with us.
This is the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
Visit us online at oraclebroadcasting.com.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal, but something seems to be missing.
Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com. But wait.
There's more. You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to libertystickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. Libertystickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
At hempusa.org, we offer chemical-free products to people around the world, detoxifying, self-healing, while rebuilding the immune system. We urge our listeners to please consider our largest-selling product, Microplant Powder. Our microplant powder is rich in silica and probiotics to help rebuild the immune system and to create a healthy stomach flora. Microplant powder is excellent for daily intake and is perfect to add to your storage shelter. We urge our listeners to please visit us at hempusa.org. And remember, all of our products are chemical-free and healthy to eat. We constantly strive to give you the best service, highest quality, and rapid shipping anywhere. And we offer free shipping on orders over $95 in the U.S. Please visit us at hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. That's 908-691-2608. See what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you at hempusa.org.
Hey folks, this is Charles Giuliani from the Truth Hurts Show. Are you looking for that perfect gift to give someone that will open their eyes to the truth about 9/11 as being an inside job or about the ongoing conspiracy for world government? Then let me recommend to you my books, Piercing the Fog of 9/11 and The New World Disorder. These books are fully documented with the most authoritative and irrefutable sources that make it impossible to deny the reality that our leaders are a bunch of corrupt tyrant wannabes who want to rule the world with an iron fist. The 9/11 book covers all the details of 9/11, proving, again, that it was an inside job, including a history of state-sponsored terrorism. In the New World Disorder book, you'll find everything covered, from how the elites hijacked our banking system, our media, academia, and even organized religion. The assassinations of Lincoln, JFK, RFK, you name it. Just go to Amazon.com and search for my name, Charles Giuliani. That's G-I-U-L-I-A-N-I. And you'll see all of my available titles. So again, just go to Amazon.com and check them out today.
Can turn to a Hitler now if you want.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Flying by on us here. Once again, check out our guest website, Carolyn Yeager. Just go to CarolynYeager.com. That's C-I-R-O-L-Y-N. And then Yeager is Y-E-A-G-E-R, CarolynYeager.com. I definitely want to get into the Hitler discussion. But before we even do that, there's one other question I wanted to ask you, Carolyn. Somebody, one of my listeners had sent me an email the other day. He raised a good point. I've been talking about the concentration camps as having been labor camps rather than death camps. But, you know, is there actual physical evidence that they were even that? Or were they simply just detention centers? Or were they mixed?
You mean the ones they call death camps?
Right.
Yeah, well, no, there's no evidence. No, they have no evidence for anything. And the more work that the revisionists are doing...
No. What I'm asking is, you know, what was the real function?
Oh, were they? Yeah. Well, those camps that they're putting so much store in, the Holocausters are putting so much store in, at the eastern part of Poland, close to where you go into Russia, those are Treblinka, Belzec, and Sobibor. And then there's another one, Chelmno. But particularly those first three, they were... what you'd call transit camps. They weren't even detention camps. They were like way stations because, for one thing, the railroad tracks changed between Europe after Poland and when you went into Russia. They were a different gauge. So you had to change trains there no matter what. You know, you had to get onto a different train which had the same fit those railroad tracks.
Yeah.
So these were places where the SS was actually transporting these people according to Adolf Hitler's directions and the hierarchy there, transporting them as far to the east as they could, the Jewish people. So they were taking them in trains, and they finally got to this location. And this is where they stopped. The people got out. They had a few buildings there. They had a few personnel there. They had some delousing buildings. They used, you know, and they had showers and stuff. They cleaned these. The people got to clean up. They deloused them, and they told them about where they were going and what was waiting for them, you know, jobs and this and that, and in certain communities. They took them in different places. All this has been lost and covered up. And then they got on a train and they went on into further into Russia. And that's why when they go, they've done now like, well, at all these camps, they cannot find any remains of all these hundreds of thousands of bodies that were supposedly burned
there.
And buried and burned and so on and so forth. And they're not there. And yet they just keep claiming this. Well, the revisionists are really working hard, and there's some new books have come out. In fact, a book with the title of Sobibor that was written by Carlo Mattonio, Thomas Kues, and Jürgen Graf. The three of them collaborated with that. And they're working on some more information about finding a lot of Jews in Russia. Here, there, and everywhere, you know, in the community, reports that they're unearthing, that there were these foreign Jews there that had come from here and there. And, you know, this is the traces of these of this transport into the East. But it's very difficult because, of course, you know, Russia, they got their territory way into Europe at the end of the war, and they closed down, and nobody, you know, could go in there and look for anything, and they did whatever they wanted and covered everything up and came up with their own story.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's slowly coming out.
Lots of confusion. But, I mean, is there actual evidence, you know, have there been, quote, factories found in any of the camps to indicate that they were used for labor? I've been saying that.
They weren't in the camps. They sent them out to where there were factories. And they had a lot of small factories all over, and they were probably destroyed. But the people, that's where the people went who supposedly went into the gas chambers. See, they were sent out to work. That when they did selections, they selected people to go to this place and that place. These were, Auschwitz was like a transit camp
and
a camp where people went. They put them there, and then they decided where they needed to send people.
Where they could be used.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I mean,
stories just rose up. Oh, they took these people away. Oh, they put them in that gas chamber over there.
Right.
And these were rumors that were started on purpose by underground, anti-Nazi forces. People who were in those camps were put in there because they were fighting against the Nazis. And so what do you think? They just quit doing that when they got in there?
Right. If you think about it from a logistics standpoint, it only makes sense. You know, Hitler's main aim, especially, you know, as the war was marching on, coming to a close, he wanted to dedicate every last penny, every ounce of energy to furthering the war effort, right?
Right.
He's not going to expend the tremendous amount of financial resources that would be required, for extermination purposes when he can use these people for labor.
And that's why it's so ridiculous in the last day, Spielberg's documentary, where more than one of these Jews say, Hitler was the Nazis at the end there, they were so crazy, they didn't even care about the war, they just wanted to kill every Jew they could get their hands on, and that took precedence over the war. That is just baloney, being spouted.
Ridiculous. Unbelievable.
These people have built up their own importance and how they were the center of everything. They've always been the center of the world.
Yeah, oh yeah, it's all about them, literally. It's all about them.
This is just another instance. World War II was all about them.
And to this day...
And the only thing that the National Socialist Third Reich there wanted to do was to exterminate Jews, nothing else. They had no goals except that.
so disgusting. To this day, Germany is still paying out reparation payments, aren't they? I thought that that was discontinued in 2007 with the finance minister.
They keep finding more. Now they're working on having payments made to the children and grandchildren. And they're being taken seriously. And the German government seems to be unwilling to go against that. They seem to... The kind of government Germany has is an occupation government that really works for the Allied cause of, you know, and they don't want any Hitlerism rising up, so as long as they can keep this going, they're happy to do it. Of course, it's the people who are paying for it. But they've also made the very largest donation to this Auschwitz improvement fund, like 90 billion or, $9 billion, I forget how much it is.
A ridiculous figure,
Yeah.
Unreal.
I think the United States contributed $10 million, so I think that Germany was like $90 million or something like that.
Unbelievable. Anyway, we do have a caller. You want to go to the caller at this time, and then we can get into the Hitler discussion in our final segment. I definitely want to talk about that. So, yeah, let's go to Tony in Florida. Welcome to the show, Tony.
Oh, am I on now?
Yeah.
Hello?
You're a little...
Okay.
A little quiet, but we can hear you.
Okay, I'll speak louder. I'm on a cell phone. No, Carolyn, is that your first name? No, I got to buy your book. I really give you credit for what you're doing. I mean, it takes a lot of courage.
Well, thank you. Yeah, do buy it. You can go to my website, and you'll find the way to buy it. Or you can go to the Barnes Review or to the Kodo Bookstore. It's for sale. It's only $10.
What you're still on VLR?
Yes.
What's your website again?
Well, he said it a bunch of times. CarolynJaeger.com.
Oh, CarolynJaeger.com. I'm gonna get to a fast comment, and then I do have a big question for you. Oh no, I mean they're still keeping this thing alive down in South Florida. I'm on the West Coast, but over on the East Coast. Okay, Palm Beach County, Miami-Dade, Broward County.
Mm-hmm.
There's a group of these so-called survivors, and they're whining about Allianz. Okay, that's a German insurer. Okay, that's an insurer that got stuck.
They never stop, do they?
Well, anyway, they were. It's just incredible how just a few of these people, man, they just murmur a sentence and it's just plastered all over the paper. Hey, I'm gonna get to the point. No, they picketed a golf tournament in Boca where Allianz was sponsoring it. They're claiming they owe $20 billion or some garbage that are life insurance policies by Allianz and.
So, did you have a question though for Carolyn?
All right, this is a big question. Please don't cut me off here. This is a big question. Look at Poland. That's
Tony, really quick, we got a break coming in.
Okay, go to the break.
All right, but I can't give you much time, though, because I wanted to get the... I'll go right after that. Okay, folks, stick with us. We'll be right back.
Maybe he could ask a question during the break.
Hi, folks. This is Charlie Giuliani here from the Truth Hurts Show. I'm here to tell you about my friend Mike Anthony, who has a great line of affordable herbal products. His products cover every known ailment under the sun. My personal favorite is Rapid Heal. Not only will it rapidly heal any injury you might be suffering from, internal or external, but it also serves as a great painkiller. He's also got a formula called System Toner, which can help you maintain your health on a daily basis, enabling your organs to function properly and provide many nutrients that aren't readily available in the average diet today. He's got what's called Dragon Juice that gives you energy healthfully, naturally. He's got another blend called Infection Killer, Cancer Blaster, you name it. It goes on and on. He's also got Herbal Teas, an arthritis formula. So give him a call today, folks, at 845-231-1094. Again, that's 845-231-1094. And tell him I sent you.
TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the Internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where up to thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzing noises as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voice-over IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc.
Hey, this is Jack Blood, host of Deadline Live. For years now, I have been cheating the multinational pharma cartels and have avoided extensive doctor bills by taking Enerfood products every day. These are the products that the powers that be do not want you to know about, and with Codex Alimentarius legislation, are actively trying to ban. Why? Because if you take Enerfood coconut milk powder and switch to all-organic NutriCafe coffee and Coco Mojo, you won't need them. Go to ENERFOOD.com today to learn more about how a daily inexpensive intake of nature's superfood will increase your immune system by flushing out toxins, and how this will increase your energy, stamina, and focus. You know, you can't take on the New World Order from your couch. ENERFOOD.com or give them a call today. 866-762-9238. 866-762-9238. Tell them Jack Blood sent you.
Radio X. With your host, Jimmy X.
Sundays at noon on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
All right, everybody, welcome back. The final segment here. This question from Florida was what happened to the Polish Jews? It was supposed to have been like 3 million Polish Jews that, you know, vanished. What happened to them? So I'm going to have Carolyn answer that, and then I want to get into, with the final few minutes we have, a discussion about Hitler and who his real financiers were or where he got his finances from. But yeah, first, if you would address that question, Carolyn.
Well, okay, that's a complicated question, and one thing is that a lot of the a lot of people went to Poland, a lot of Jews went to Poland from other places, trying to thinking that that was a safe place to be. So there are a lot of so-called Polish Jews that weren't Polish, and a lot of there were always a lot of people calling themselves this or that that were from somewhere else. So they, a lot of these people were double counted in these figures. They were counted as, say, Ukrainian, and then they were counted as Polish, and they were counted as Lithuanian, you know, and then they were counted as Polish. But
yeah.
If you, there's an article, and it's on my website, it's called Searching for the Bodies. And you can, it's even listed on my recent articles on the front page still. And you can go there, and there's a long section in the front of, at the beginning of that article that talks about that very question, and by someone who knows a lot more about it than I do. And I would recommend the caller to go there and anyone else to go there and read that. And this article appeared in the Barnes Review under a different title. It says there when it was, but it's on my website and can be read there.
Excellent.
Searching for the Bodies. Okay.
So now for the final thing that I wanted to ask you about, I read, you know, your article recently on, you know, where Hitler got his funding from. I've made that statement myself on numerous occasions that he was funded by the Jews themselves, you know, the Warburgs and whatnot that ran the Reichsbank. But according to this article, the Nazis took over the Reichsbank and they were printing their own currency. So if you could touch upon that, that's very interesting.
Well, I've been talking about these rumors about Hitler being partly Jew and a Rothschild and so on in my last radio program. And I recommend people to go and listen to that. And then I brought out some very good information, and I'm going to talk about that again on
Yeah, I've made that mistake myself, but upon closer inspection, apparently that's not true either. Yeah, that his grandmother or whatever was a nanny for the Rothschilds, and so his father was
the
product.
Yeah, that all turns out to be have started in the OSS, which was the precursor of the CIA, which was wartime United States intelligence agency, and they were preparing propaganda and disinformation and so on to put out in Germany, and that was what. And he came up with that, but actually he didn't talk about the Rothschild part of it until he put it in his book after the war. So that wasn't a part of the actual stuff they were talking that they were using at that time. But that has gotten built. But Hans Frank came up with a fake story before he was sent to the gallows about a Frankenberger. So that we have a story that there was a Frankenberger family in Graz that Hitler was Hitler's grandmother worked for, and she got pregnant by their son. And then the other one is that there was a Rothschild family in Vienna where the same thing happened. But actually, she never went to those places, and it was a local man that was the father of Hitler's father. So there's that. Now, what was the other question about Rothschild funding and all of
that? The funding,
Well, they they used banks. You know, they had their bank, but they had Schacht as Hitler had Schacht as his finance minister up until around 1938-39. And he went along with everything, and he worked on these plans for them to do it on their own, and but he had good relations with banks, and if they needed any kind of cooperation with banks,
he was a Rothschild buddy,
Well, I don't know how much he was, but he was a banker, and he was a central banker, and he could hobnob with those people, but I think he was also a German patriot, and there was not such an argument about what Hitler was doing until a certain time came that he was becoming so successful and he was becoming so influential that then they decided it was really Britain. I think it was Britain. Well, that's where the Rothschild Empire is centered. So it's a combination of the British government, the non-Jews and the Jews that were part of it and all the influence they have there and the bankers. You know, it wasn't that just that the bankers did all of this by themselves. They just get in there and make it worse. But there are other people who are behind a lot of these machinations too. So Hitler had this wonderful plan of funding based on production. But when the war started, he needed more funding than that, and so then I don't really know exactly how that was done at that time. I don't know who does actually. So,
thing to sort through all the propaganda.
One thing I know is that the biggest Jewish banker in Germany, which was Max Warburg, remained in his bank. And he was cooperating with the National Socialists. He was not a Zionist. He didn't like Zionism. Jews living in Germany. Their family, of course, they were super wealthy and
Warburg, not a Zionist.
He wanted to keep that going. But he had his brother over there in United States, and they were doing worse things than Max. I am not clear about just what part he played in that, although he certainly was went along with everything.
You don't think
but
he was designed?
Finally, Hitler took over that bank. He did it kind of in increments. And in 1938, Max Warburg was out, and he went to the United States.
Let me ask you something. There's so many things I want to raise here. But how much do you think our perception of Hitler as the nasty tyrant is really based on reality, and how much of it is propaganda?
He wasn't a nasty tyrant, but he was tough. And he had to be tough. You know, I mean, he's not. You can't portray him like the nice guy next door.
Yeah.
Because he, and a lot of people say he wasn't tough enough, and that's really the truth. He wasn't tough enough, but he was. He did not want to be, a tyrant. He wanted the people to do things because they wanted to, and he wasn't. He didn't do purges, except he did that one purge of in the SA, because the SA really was trying to get more power, and they wanted to be the military. It was a question of whether the regular military was going to be the military of the government of the nation, or if the SA was going to turn into the military. Well, they weren't prepared. They didn't have the expertise to do that, and there was a lot of rebellion in there. Or there were not rebellion, but people stirring up trouble. And so he just put an end to it that way, and that's been a big point of criticism, because they make anything that the National Socialists did is made into a terrible, terrible thing, so evil. Whereas that when others do that and much worse, and nobody blinks their eyes at it.
Okay, one final thing. Mm-hmm. In the last couple minutes or so, we've got. You said that Warburg wasn't a Zionist. If you could elaborate on that, that's new to me. I always thought the Warburgs were rabid.
Well, I think he said, he wasn't for this idea of sending the European Jews to Palestine. He didn't like that idea. He wanted them to stay where they were. He thought that they could manage to. I think he did. This is my understanding, that they could manage to live through the National Socialist thing, or at least he could. Maybe he didn't care about the rest of them. Maybe he just, the wealthy ones would be all right. But he wasn't supporting this idea of this state in Palestine.
Okay, real quick, what do you think of the these Jewish Nazis, Eichmann and whatnot? What do you make of that?
No, Eichmann was half Jewish, but he was very loyal to his other half and to the National Socialist Party and to Hitler, and he was doing his job. But when he got caught, they had him in confinement, and they talked to him about all kinds of things, and he ended up saying a lot of stuff, thinking he would save his skin, but he didn't.
Interesting stuff. Okay, Carolyn, we ran out of time, unfortunately, but thanks a lot for coming on. Appreciate it. Great stuff. Well, check the website out, folks, CarolynJaeger.com. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow. Thanks.
My name's John. I've been having problems with my blood pressure for years. My doctor's tried everything without much success. I heard about Extendivite from a friend and thought, why not give it a try? It's been 3 months now. My doctor's very pleased with how my blood pressure's finally coming down. I have a lot more energy than I've had in a long time. It's working for me.
For 12 years now, I've been helping people. My name is Don Wiskin, and I want you to know Extendivite works. If you're looking for more energy, or just want to be as healthy as you can, now is the time to join the growing list of real people benefiting from Extendivite. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 5 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include 3 Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, 3 Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping. An $87 value, yours free. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at goberkey.com. That's goberkey.com today.
Looking for news and real information?
You found it. This is OracleBroadcasting.com.